Well, let's see what we got planned here for today out of God's Word. Well, first of all, we just want to give a shout out to all the mothers. If you're a mother and you're here today, please stand to your feet if you would. If you're a mom, please stand to your feet. Come on now, men. Let's hear it for all the mothers that are here today. God bless you and thank each and every one of you. We have a special message designed for you today. Go ahead and be seated. And as you leave the auditorium, the sanctuary, the auditorium now becomes sanctuary. As you leave today, we have a special little treat for all the moms in our house. We do it pretty much every year. There's some little chocolate, different flavors of chocolates out there. And there'll be someone standing right out there in the foyer with a basket. Make sure you grab one, maybe two, depending on how many there are in a basket. I think there's quite a few in there. And so just as a token of appreciation for you today. Motherhood is one of the most, if not the most important role in all of human history. I mean, let's face it, without your mom, you wouldn't be here. So it's pretty important, right? And so I'm thankful that we have the freedom and, of course, the wherewithal to celebrate this now, as I understand, 102-year-old national observance called Mother's Day. Officially established by President Woodrow Wilson in 1914, but really the actual founder, the actual force behind Mother's Day in America was a woman named Anna Reeves Jarvis. She campaigned for and petitioned President Wilson to make it a national day of recognition. Now, the first Mother's Day service was held in a church, go figure, exactly 118 years ago today on May 10th, 1908. And someone said this once. It said, when God wants to do something great, he generally will call a man. But when he wants to do something extraordinarily great, he will call a woman. I'm trying to build up some brownie points here, ladies, so just. I wrestled around this last week trying to figure out how I could wring a Mother's Day message out of Romans chapter 3. We are in a walkthrough of the book of Romans, a verse-by-verse exposition of that book. And I tried to figure out how in the world can I get a Mother's Day message out of Romans chapter 3. Well, the fact of the matter is you can't unless you use smoke and mirrors. And so we're not going to do that today. I had to decide I was either going to skip past Mother's Day altogether or do the right thing and take the opportunity and honor this day set aside, not only just for its sentimental value, because, you know, there's a lot of sentimental value associated with Mother's Day. But friends, there is also, ladies and gentlemen, there is also a lot of spiritual value to be associated with and to be thought about in, concerning Mother's Day. However, that said, I still did figure out how to wedge a principle from Romans chapter 3 into today's message, so I can at least claim victory that we've touched on Romans chapter 3 while we were gathered together. And we'll get to that principle in a little while here this morning. It's one of those things that just kind of stands over and against and gives us reason and cause for today's celebration. I also determined that we could plant our text for Romans, which we've been using, which is chapter 12, verse 2, that we could plant our text kind of like a flag right in the middle of today's Mother's Day message. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, let's turn over to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to start there with what has been our text through the study of the book of Romans. We're not that far along. We're only at the end of chapter 2. But I believe that it's apropos. You might even say this is a universal truth. But we want to share it together here today. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And if you would, please, let's stand to our feet together as we read this verse of Scripture. Romans 12 and verse 2, please read with me. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Heavenly Father, today, as we've had opportunity to gather in your name once again, Lord, we want to be immersed, Lord, in the truth of your word. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence, great teacher. to take the truth that we just read and apply it to our hearts and minds. And Lord, maybe especially over and against the topic of the day, which is Mother's Day. Lord, be glorified in what pastor says, not for his sake, Lord, but for your sake. May truth come forward, Lord, today. And Father, might we be encouraged and strengthened and enabled by truth to take it with us and live out of its abundance. So we thank you and praise you, Lord, today for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. In my humble estimation, there are some national days of recognition. You know, a lot of them include a paid day off. So if you're either a state employee or a government employee, there's several days throughout the year where you get the day off with pay. The rest of us have to work. But nevertheless, there are some days that I would call, well, I would just maybe call it diplomatically a stretch. At least compared to a day like Mother's Day. But that's another sermon for another time. Today, I want to spend some time looking at what God's word has to say about something that he has placed in the top 10 listing of all things that he wants us to know and things that he wants us to do, things that would keep us together and thus keep us from falling apart, things that would reflect his design, his will, and his purpose for our lives. And it's part of a list of things that includes how to relate to him, first and foremost, and then how to relate properly to one another. Of course, I'm talking about the Ten Commandments. And today, specifically, I want us to take a look at the fifth commandment. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 says this, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God giveth thee." Exodus 20 and 12. I believe the operative word there is our English word, honor. It comes from the Hebrew word kabod, which means weighty. It means to put weight or to put emphasis on the doing of whatever it is that's being highlighted. In this case, it's honoring father, honoring mother. You know, from the beginning of creation, God has had a plan, and that plan is called the family. Please say that with me, the family. The family is the centerpiece of all of God's created order. It is the foundation of our civilization. We are instructed and commanded to put great emphasis on the family, first and foremost, because God has placed emphasis, great emphasis, upon the family, upon fatherhood, and of course, upon motherhood, which we celebrate today. If you haven't already noticed, everything about the family that could be misrepresented, that could be misunderstood, that could be maligned, that could be maliciously attacked, has been and continues to be with an increasing fervor, and in some cases with an intense impunity leveled against it. Now, I should hit the pause button here to say with and for clarity and with some transparency, I know that there are some pretty horrific family situations. I'm just going to call them situations. And maybe your personal experience represents that sad reality. So much so that thoughts and words expressing and commands to honor a mom or a parent that has been anything but sounds more like cruel and unusual punishment. Maybe torturous or worse. Doesn't an all-knowing God know about this? And you can just kind of fill in the blank maybe if that situation applies to you. Because there are those situations. We would be remiss to not mention that. But there's also that which God can do. You see, we don't know what the future holds. We don't know if maybe God has a breakthrough plan for our particular set of circumstances. You say, well, preacher, if he's going to do that, he's going to have to bring so-and-so back because they're no longer with us. Well, that doesn't, I'm not necessarily talking about what God's going to do for them, maybe more what God's going to do for you. I read this somewhere that God's will is for people to be reconciled to him. I think I read that somewhere. And that his plan is to have sent his son Jesus to finish that work and to make a way for all people to be reconciled to him. So I mention it here to say this: let's not rule out the fifth, the fourth, the third, the first, or the sixth, the seventh, eighth, ninth, or tenth commandment, any of the commandments, hastily based solely on what might be our personal experience, bad or otherwise. Because the Lord willing may in the future bring a breakthrough into your life. So let me just ask you a question. Do you need a breakthrough in your family? As a mom or a dad, do you need a breakthrough? Well, ask God to work out those details. I guess I just wanted to start on the front end with that. Before you check out, do you need a breakthrough? Ask the Lord. He works that department pretty well the last time I looked. For everyone else, for those of us who've had, you know, what we might call a more pleasing upbringing, a more stable home life, with no major issues to report other than the usual suspects of living with imperfect people. How many of you live with imperfect people? Just one hand. Wow. These words about honoring father and mother may not come across like someone's pinching that one nerve that is so tender, that one wound that is still open and hurtful, but a much more palatable where we might more easily gravitate to honor and praise and open admiration for mom and for motherhood rather than some form of hostility or the harboring of hurt. In either case, for either group, God's word still stands. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So it's a powerful word given to us there in the fifth commandment for us to individually and, of course, collectively to rise up along with that. But, you know, I think there's some practical things that I want to be able to share with you here today. You know, because each year we get this day to kind of work on our skill set. Guys, husbands, you get a day to work on your skill set, how to honor your wife and how to honor that mother. And next month, guys, it will be our turn. And then overall, it just speaks to the family, to what God has ordained. So if our text really applies to motherhood, if not being conformed to this world but being transformed by the renewing of your mind applies to motherhood, and I think it does, then ladies and gentlemen, thinking rightly is the first step to doing it rightly. You have to think right in order to do it right. Here's where our Romans 3 principle comes in. So if you have your Bibles, go back to Romans chapter 3. So I get an opportunity to say that we're at least somewhat sticking to our plan. In Romans chapter 3, Paul opens up this chapter with a question. And it's a question that's developed out of the words of the previous chapter in chapter 2. Romans 3 in verse 1 says this: what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? You say, well, that has absolutely nothing to do with Mother's Day, and you're 100% right. It has nothing to do with mothering or motherhood or the celebration thereof. And I agree it doesn't, but the answer to the question does. And the answer is in the next verse. Much every way, Paul says. Chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. Let's say that together. The oracles of God. Now the next question is, what in the world are the oracles of God? They are the laws, the commandments, the prophecies, the promises, the inspired words of God from the Old Testament. The telugia to theo, the oracles of God. And if I'm not mistaken, that would include Exodus 20 and 12. If we're talking about the commandments and the truths and the laws and the principles and the promises of the Old Testament, that would include Exodus 20 and 12, the fifth commandment. A commandment that Paul also revisits in his letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, where he copies and pastes these words, honor thy father and thy mother. And he goes on to say, which is the first commandment with promise, because that commandment back in Exodus was a promise, that you may live long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So it's the word of God that sets forth these things. This is a reason why we honor father and mother. This is a reason for someone to petition and to go to what lengths they could to say, we need to have a day set aside where we're honoring mother, and then another one to honor father, because these are biblical, timeless, beautiful, and wonderful truths. Because they rise up out of God's word, not just our sentiments. You see, Hallmark did not make up Mother's Day. Although they do a good job helping us, don't they, men? Absolutely. As well as Kilwin's Chocolates and all kinds of other different places that are out there that help us to express to the one we love, to our mother, just how much we love and appreciate them. The whole civilization is founded on the family, the biblical and nuclear family. And that truth is established for us in the Bible. If you're just now hearing that for the first time, I can guarantee you it's truth without mixture of error. And if the church is not going to stand up and support the divine assertion, and I mean boldly stand, I mean unashamedly stand and declare the divine initiative of God in the family, in the Bible, then who's going to? If we're not going to stand for these things, who will? Who out there is going to do the church's job? Are we to leave it with the politicians? Well, we hope and pray that all of our elected officials would come in quickly into agreement with God's word and support that and do that. But the last time I look, it seems like they're spending more time fighting with each other. They're too busy trying to get at one another, more so maybe than standing up for the truths of God's word. That's not a reflection on every one of them, but you know what I mean. They've already proven themselves in many ways not to be on God's side. How about the courts? They too have already proven themselves in many ways not to be on God's side, not to be on the right side of history. Friends, I want to be on the right side of history. I want in the end to be on the right side, on the winning side. And friends, that's God's side. I'm not so much concerned whether God is on my side as I'm concerned as whether or not I am on God's side. And so if not us, then who? And if not now, then when? When? And so that's my rant for the day. But it's also the basis and the cornerstone of this whole concept of mothering and motherhood. It's a truth of God's word that rises above the din, that rises above the clamor, that rises above the lies of the culture around us. What I want to leave you with today in the closing moments is not just the laws and the rules and the regulations and not just the theology, but not less than those things. I also want to share with you something that I pray is practical as well. You know, in our study of the book of Romans, we're going to get into the practical side later on if Pastor ever gets a move on when we get down to chapter 12. But, you know, there's practical and then there's theological. Well, I think there's practical here today for us as it relates to everything that has to do with mothers and motherhood. So how about a story? How about a real life scenario about one extraordinary mom? Some of you might say, oh, pastor's going to talk about my mom. Well, I might in some ways be talking about your mom. Now, every year for the past 30 years, it's been 30, full 30 years, probably 31, including the first year that we were here and not pastor of the church, that I stood in the pulpit. It used to be over there. Now it's up here, that we preached and taught and used Proverbs 31 as our chief text for the day about mothers, about Mother's Day, motherhood. However, I am going to break my own rules and part with my own traditions and talk to you about a mom with a name besides just the pronouns she or her. You know, in Psalms, Proverbs 31, it's she, her, all of those pronouns. No, we're going to talk about somebody with a name. And that name is the name Hannah. Hannah. How many of you have heard of Hannah from the scriptures? Several hands going up. You got your Bibles, turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I said earlier that when God wants to do something great, he calls a man. But when he wants to do something extraordinarily great, he calls a woman. And that's proven more and more throughout the scriptures. There are several instances. I don't know that we're going to get to all of them, but we want to look at least this one special gal named Hannah. I'm just going to read the first two verses, which I think kind of sets the stage for us. And we'll see with the time remaining how far along we get. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramath, Imzophim, try to say that thing about four or five times, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, and Ephaphrite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. In the ancient Near East, it was considered almost a curse in many cultures for a married woman to be barren, to be childless. There was a certain stigma attached to childlessness in those cultures. It was also true in the Jewish culture as well. And we'll see that stigma unfold here in the story about Hannah. So as a wife, Hannah would naturally want to bear children, which is kind of different than in our culture today. You know, we don't place a lot of emphasis anymore on those things, but on other things. And I don't have time to go off on all of that or throw a rock at it. I'm just simply saying that in that culture, wives looked forward to bearing children. I find it even a bit more unnerving to report to you this morning that Elkanah, her husband, was a man whom today we would call a polygamist. He had two wives. More than once in the Old Testament, we see this happening when a man had a wife with whom together they could not bear children. He sometimes is seen taking another wife. I can tell you this, folks, the usual outcome of that was problematic. I don't care how they promote it on reality television. It's problematic. Having more than one wife, men, is a stick of dynamite with a lit fuse about to go off. That kind of problematic. Polygamy is not a prescription in the Bible, but sometimes it's described in the events and circumstances and situations. And just as it is in this situation between Hannah, Elkanah, and Peninnah. Peninnah was fertile. She was the fertile myrtle, as they would say. and had kids. And Hannah, not so much. Hannah wanted to be a mom, but she had a problem. She was barren. Today, we catalog all that under the topic or the category of infertility. I was surprised at just how prevalent infertility is today. 1 in 8 American families are dealing with some form of infertility. That kind of translated out into about 7.3 million Americans in families are dealing with that particular issue. Not all infertility is a woman's inability to get pregnant. There are other factors as well. But I would say this about infertility in general, and specifically to those dealing with issues of infertility for whatever reason they might be. And hear me when I say this, your worth and value to God as an image bearer and your worth in the family is not based on whether or not you can bear children. I hope that helps because it's true. And of course, as we know, there's other ways to be a mom. There's the adoption option. What a wonderful way for families that can't have kids to have kids. There's the adoption option. There's also being a foster parent. And friends, the needs are great. And what a way that you can be used of God in those possible avenues. Should you be wondering all about that? And while the story here in 1 Samuel turns out with Hannah actually having a child, and that child would become the great prophet of the Old Testament, Samuel, there are also deep and abiding truths unfolding at the same time as God is preparing Hannah for being a mom. And they have everything to do with trusting God. Friends, if you catch nothing else here this morning, ladies, you catch nothing else, motherhood is all about trusting God. There's something that's factored into that the world can't offer. Trusting God. Even in the most difficult of circumstances. And of course, then there's trusting him in the process that as God is developing, as God is working, as God is moving you through a process towards motherhood and parenthood, there is the unfolding of his will be done and the unfolding of his grace and mercy in raising and rearing children. I mean, it's one thing just to go through that 9 months of pregnancy and then have this child. It's another thing altogether, you know, to incorporate and facilitate and bring that child into that family and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as the scripture says. Can anybody hear me today? Amen, right? And according to the text, and we haven't read all of it yet, and I'm going to start reading here in just a moment. Hannah trusted God on both accounts. And friends, that's the beauty of the story. That's the beauty of how she gets into this picture. You see, when you look at the book of 1 Samuel, you say, well, it's about Samuel. It's about Samuel then who anointed Saul to be king. And then it was Samuel then who anointed David to be king. David, the man after God's own heart. And we've got to focus on those things. But the chapter starts with God's call to a woman. God's call to a mom. And so she responds to God and trusts God on both accounts before she got pregnant and after the child was born. So let's continue taking a look here, and I'll read as fast and as far as I possibly can, and we'll stop and we'll let you out of here, because I know that you ladies, that there's some big promises set out there for you for the day, things that are going to be happening. I don't want to cut into that time. So the end of verse 2 says, and Hannah had no children. And this man, her husband, Elkanah, went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And he had and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when it came time that was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to all of her sons and daughters, portions. But unto Hannah gave he a worthy portion. I think maybe some translations say a double portion, or even more than a double portion, maybe as much as five times what he gave to his other wife and children. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore. You notice how the word describes this gal, Peninnah? She is the adversary of Hannah. You know, when you read elsewhere in the scriptures about the adversary, you know, there's usually the reference to the devil. I don't want to pin that on Peninnah, but I'm just saying that between her and Hannah, there was conflict. And it says that she provoked her sore to make her fret. Fret. That's that. You know what? That could mean a lot of different things, right? Any of you ever fretted over something? Yes, indeed. So I don't have to explain that to you. I think the scripture is here is telling us. Because the Lord had shut up her womb, and as he did, so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. So this was not just one time. This was like every opportunity that she could get in. Look at you. You got no kids. It was hard in that culture. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? So you can see how she's overcome with emotion, you know, the provoking, the empty womb, all of it. She's feeling it. Why weepest thou? And why eatest not? And why is thy heart grieved? God bless this man, but notice what he says here. He says, aren't I better unto thee than 10 sons? You know, it doesn't tell us what she said, but maybe under her breath she said, not really. Nice try. Right? I don't know. You bonehead. I don't know what she was thinking or what she was saying. But he was giving it his best. He loved her. You know, they had something going together. They were in love with each other. She loved him. He loved her. So Hannah rose up after she had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. That's a Nazarite vow. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. One commentator said there are three really important points for us to take away about Hannah. And thus about motherhood that we might, you know, apply them to the whole concept of motherhood. You know, the first one is to be a great mom, that extraordinary mom, sometimes it means having great problems like infertility. Like having an adversary, like having an emotional breakdown for all of these things that are happening to you. I mean, those are problems. And if those are problems that are not, we'll say, dealt with, they can lead to even more severe issues and situations and scenarios. And so, you can look at Hannah and you can say, most definitely, here's a woman that had some pretty great problems. But there's also something else here. Maybe we'll say the second point is that she also had a pretty great passion for God. In the midst of her problems, she cried out to the Lord. And these verses here, these all the way here through 18 or 19, she's calling out to the Lord. Let me see if I can continue for a minute. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. I don't think he went over there with a magic marker and marked her mouth, but it, you know, that he was reading her lips. He was noticing that she was over there, that she was saying something, he couldn't hear it. And so it goes on. Now Hannah spake, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she was had been drunken. Thought that she'd been hitting the wine bottle a little too hard. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Friends, I don't know how you can maximize on that any more so than to do so in the midst of whatever trouble that you're in. Call out to the Lord, ladies, moms, dads, parents. There's a story about a mom who, and this is kind of typical, you know, mom will go grocery shopping and she takes her child with her and she gets in the grocery store, gets the cart out and she puts the child, a little small child, puts the child in the cart and she's carting around. And some of you ladies maybe resonate with this. You know, it's not long before the child starts squirming around in the chair and, you know, and then sees something, I want that. And then you drive right past it and they start bawling. I mean, sometimes they just start wailing, they start carrying on like crazy. And this is what was going on. And the store clerk noticed, you know, probably everybody in the store probably noticed at that time, you know, kids crying, carrying on. Mother's carting her around, she's trying to get the groceries. And so the mother says this. She says, Carol, it's going to be okay. Carol, it's going to be all right. Carol, in just a few minutes, we're going to be going home. And the store clerk comes up to me. She says, I'm just amazed at how calm you are and how you're talking to your young daughter here, Carol. She said, no, I'm talking to myself. I'm Carol. Right? We laugh, but man, isn't that true? Sometimes you go to the store, I want to get out of here as fast as I possibly can. I mean, these kids are driving me crazy. Great moms will often have great problems. Parenting is a breeze, said no one ever. Right? But to be a great mom, you also have a great passion for God. Great passion for the Lord. Take it all to the Lord. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And men, that applies to us as dads as well. Not only that, but there's a third thing. It's having a great plan. You know, to be a great mom, you gotta have a great plan for your family. Let's try to finish up the reading here if we can. Verse 16 says, count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken hitherto. I mean, she was pretty directed to the point. I have a complaint, I have grief, I know where to take it. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Praise God. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came near the house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. That means they had relations. And the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And very quickly, and the man Elkanah and all his house went up and offered unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. You see, she made a promise, Lord, if you'll remember me, I'm going to dedicate my child unto you. You know, the fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, and especially moms here, that your children, they all belong to the Lord. Amen. Just settle it in your heart early that you're going to give them to the Lord, that you're going to trust them into the Lord's care. Hannah was able to do that. You know, maybe the last point to be a great mom, you got to have a great plan. And what a plan. Wasn't that plan a good plan? Hannah has Samuel. Samuel becomes the prophet. The nation prospers. God moves and ministers. We don't know what the Lord wants us to do. We don't know what is going to happen in our families, and we especially will not see it if we're not praying and asking God, if we're not lifting these children up, if we're not bathing them in prayer before the Lord, and not willing to give them, we'll say, up to the Lord so that the Lord might have his will be done in their lives. What a great thing. And everyone said amen, right? Thank you, Jesus. So she weaned him. I don't know how long that process takes. Sometimes it takes years. And she said, I'm not going to go up until I take him up there and leave him there. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what thou seemeth good, and tarry until thou hast weaned him. And only the Lord established his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew the bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as my soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. And he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Three quick takeaways. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not of thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. If you're infertile, if you're barren, unable to naturally have children, and yet want to be a mom, above all, first and foremost, trust God. He has a plan. Secondly, Psalms 127, verse 3. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Blessed is the womb. Well, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb are his reward. I apologize. And then finally, Psalms 24, verse 1. It tells us that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. God owns it all. Lock, stock, and barrel. Hannah knew that and lived her life out in that regard through all of the difficulty and then on into the joy God has. Ladies, I pray that you're blessed. I pray that as the Lord is speaking here today, that you can reflect on the blessing that you have in your own families. I pray that before the day is out, that your husband and your family are able to show you that. And in fact, let's take and stand to our feet, if we would. And I'm going to turn over to Proverbs chapter 31. I'm not going to read the entire proverb. I just want to read that last little section of Proverbs chapter 31. the she and the her, that we actually, I think, seen in the life of Hannah, and leave you with these words. Verse 28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Heavenly Father, today as we've had opportunity to gather in your name, Lord, open up your word. And Father, to take a few moments today and think about moms and motherhood. And Lord, to reflect on the life of this one daughter of yours, Hannah, and the process that you walked her through to bring her to a place of blessing and honor and praise, that she in turn would be a blessing, Lord, to you and praise you and honor you and glorify you. Lord, what a story. What a beautiful truth, Father, for us to take and take with us today. And we're thankful for our time together. Let me give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. What are we going to sing, Brett?